This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by Heinz Mayonnaise.
Let me tell you, Matthew, if there's one thing you're never going to forget, it is a delicious BLT made with unforgettably creamy Heinz mayonnaise.
Yeah, I remember we love BLTs. We did a whole episode about it, and you got to use that Heinz mayonnaise.
Yep. Try something new. Try unforgettably creamy Heinz mayonnaise.
And, of course, try the new Heinz mashups, Mayo Chup, Mayo Q, Mayo Must, and Cranch.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about, you guessed it, quesadillas.
Wow.
So let's go down memory lane. Were there quesadillas in your home?
There were not quesadillas in my home. There were quesadillas, like, in restaurants.
Okay, this is interesting. This is going to help me figure out something that I was trying to figure out over the course of researching this episode.
I remember a period of time when, you know, when I was very spice phobic, as I think every child is for a certain period of time, at least white kids growing up in America.
Right.
And I was spice phobic for a while. And so when we would go to a Mexican restaurant, usually a Tex-Mex restaurant,
sure,
I would order a quesadilla, usually a chicken quesadilla.
Yeah,
because it was just like, it's like, it was like, it was as easy going down as like PB&J.
Yeah.
You know, what's not to like about it?
Or grilled cheese, which it is a type.
Yeah.
So I definitely grew up with quesadillas in my house. Like, I feel like there was this almost instantaneous moment in, like, the late 80s when suddenly families not of Mexican descent started making cheddar quesadillas on flour tortillas as, like, the primo, like, snack food and thing any kid will eat.
Were you able to trace the genesis of this revolution?
No, I was able to, like, using, you know, Google Ngram, kind of confirm that my time frame was correct. But
wait,
I don't know.
What is this Google Ngram thing?
Oh, we've talked about this before on the show. It's like, if you want to know, it takes the Google Books corpus. Love saying corpus.
Wow. So far in this episode, we've said genesis, revolution, and corpus.
Wow. It sounds like we are a cult, right? I mean, we're either a tech startup or a cult or, I mean,
both.
Probably both.
Yeah.
Like, come hang out at our pad. We're, you know, if you want to work at our company, we're in a big old house outside of town. Like, people are half naked most of the time.
We serve a lot of quesadillas.
Harassment is rampant. Yes. But we serve a lot of quesadillas.
Matthew is a total menace.
To society.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
His corpus is a menace.
Yes. Oh, boy. What was the question? What kind of cult are we?
No, like what
a
is
a sex cult?
So you were explaining Google Ngram. Is it the letter N?
Yes. I don't know where the name comes from. I don't believe it is Scientology related.
Okay.
Or related to the Enneagram, which is a thing we did on our bonus episode.
You were saying that
it's based
it uses
on the Google
corpus
Books corpus. So it takes, like, you know, all of these digitized books that Google has slurped into their massive digital brain. And if you want to know, like, when did the word, like, give me a word like a, from recent times or non-recent times, like a concept.
Weekend.
Weekend. Like, when did people start using the term weekend? Like, when did it go from being hyphenated to not hyphenated? Mm-hmm. You can look at Google Ngram and it'll show you a graph just showing, like, you know, until like 1890, no one ever said weekend. And then suddenly it started getting more and more popular in the sense of appearing in more and more books.
Okay.
So I looked up the word quesadilla, and sure enough, like, it kind of just like hovers along in like the occasional article on Mexican food. And then suddenly, like, boom, mid to late 80s, it explodes.
Do you think that I feel like I'm treading into waters that I don't know much about, but was this also around the time that Tex-Mex became something that was taking off in American cities?
I don't remember quesadillas being a thing that jumped from restaurants
to American cities, I should say.
But I suspect that must be what happened, unless it was like the result of a promotion by like a big tortilla or cheese company. I could see that being the case also. But certainly. Like you said,
suggestion.
Like, you know, we go to a Tex-Mex restaurant, you bring your kids eat the quesadilla, and you're like, well, I could certainly make this at home.
Yeah.
And so you do. I feel like quesadilla is sort of like made the jump into American homes of non-Mexican descent, like a generation after burritos or like a decade after burritos, maybe.
How long after tacos?
I think quite a while after tacos.
Because I think of the mainstream non-Mexican,
like a hard taco.
American family dinner would be like a hard taco with ground beef seasoned with like Lowry's taco seasoning.
Yeah, I think
seasoning.
The Lowry's like, that taco packet was well established by the time quesadillas hit our dinner tables and microwaves.
Okay.
I don't know. Like I tried to build a narrative here and just like couldn't find any trustworthy information. So I'm just speculating all over the place.
Yeah.
And expectorating all over the place.
Perfect.
I'm so excited.
I'm really glad you got that shield on your mic there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is now just like impregnated with just all sorts of goo.
So, okay. So, but you had quesadillas primarily at home.
Yeah, I would say primarily at home, although I do remember when I headed off to college in Southern California, for a time I got real into the Del Taco chicken quesadilla.
What's Del Taco?
Del Taco is a Taco Bell competitor that is mostly in California, I think, although there are a couple around Washington State.
Okay. Okay. And so your mom, though, when she would make quesadillas, will you tell me about how she would make them, when you would eat them, what was
so,
in them?
Here's what I'm trying to remember. And I should have called my mom as usual. But so definitely like pan fried quesadillas, which we're going to talk a lot more about. Although I think there was definitely some microwave quesadilla going on in my house. I'm not a fan of the microwave quesadilla. Like you lose out on the best part of the quesadilla, which is the crispy part.
I've never tried it. You know, I have. So I grew up, as I think we've discussed on the show before, I grew up with my parents having a toaster oven.
Yeah.
And so as a grown up, I thought that it was a normal thing to have a toaster oven.
We had a toaster oven
as well. So I have a toaster oven. And then when Ash moved in with me, Ash brought a slot toaster.
The way you said that a minute ago about how you grew up thinking it was normal to have a toaster oven, as if like now you realize it is abnormal.
Well, but now I realize that, like, I think a lot of people just have slot toasters.
Yeah, we only have a slot toaster, but I did grow up with a toaster oven.
Well, so now I have both.
Okay. Which must be nice.
Which makes me feel so wealthy.
How many slots are we talking here?
Just two slots.
Just two slots.
Just
okay.
Two slots. Anyway, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I...
So June will come to you and say, Mommy, might I have a slice of toast? And you say, sorry, kid, only two slots.
I make quesadillas now in the toaster oven.
Oh, okay. Tell me how you do it.
Well, so I run it on the same setting that I would run toast. And for the same length of time, you have to be willing to like clean up cheese every couple months.
Okay, so but let me so walk me through this.
So I assemble the sandwich. I do flour tortillas with cheddar that I grate on the large holes of the box grater. I press down a second tortilla on top, and then I carefully slide the whole thing onto the rack of the toaster oven.
Oh, like directly onto the rack?
Directly onto the rack.
So like cheese drips onto the floor?
Yes, but I'm quite good at putting in just the right amount of cheese and also making sure that no cheese is hanging out the sides.
This is similar to how we were talking about how you have to arrange the cheese perfectly when you make cheesy toast. a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
So so then I run it for one toaster cycle on like, I think we keep it a little bit like right around medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just keep it medium.
And so it puffs up and the top tortilla in particular puffs and gets a little bit browned.
Okay.
And I have to say, it definitely, it had been a long time since I'd had a pan-fried tortilla, which you just made for us right now. However, it's a totally different beast.
Yeah,
the pan-fried
sure.
tortilla gets a lot of like, almost like tortilla chip flavor on the outside of it from the fat and the hot tortilla.
Yeah.
But this is pretty darn good. I've got no complaints. I mean, I'm
like
not,
which one? Both
about
of them?
My toaster oven one.
No, I can see
avoids,
that.
It avoids the sog of a microwave.
Yeah.
While still being very, very quick and not getting a pan dirty.
Yeah. So here's like thinking about it a little more. I think probably what was going on in my house is I have two younger brothers who are twins who are like 5 years younger than me. And I bet at some point my mom was like, you know, you guys like eat constantly.
Yeah.
You know, here's how you make a quesadilla. Like you throw some shit in the microwave and like run it for 1 minute and then you have food. And they're like, okay, we can do this.
That's
what my brothers sound like.
When we did the nacho episode, we made nachos both in...
God, melting cheese on things is good.
Right?
We do this a lot.
We did some nachos in the oven, and then we also did some nachos in the microwave.
That's
I was amazed by how good the microwave ones were.
Maybe
they're not... I mean, they're like the kind of good where like if you've had a little too much to drink, they're going to be the best thing you've ever eaten. Like
maybe
possibly even better than oven nachos.
Maybe when my brothers were microwaving quesadillas at age nine, it was because they were just drunk off their ass.
Yeah, pretty much.
Their collective ass because they're twins. The other quesadilla that I encountered in college was the one made at the student union, which was called the Coop at Pomona College. I'm sure they still make these things. I don't know what the secret of a Coop cheddar dia was. I suspect it's just that they used a ton of grease.
Okay.
But they would put the tortilla, it was made with a single large tortilla, and they would put it on, but it wasn't folded half moon style. They would put it on the griddle.
Okay.
And then they would sprinkle on the cheese, put on whatever toppings you want, which could be like taco meat, like red, thinly sliced red onions were particularly important.
Okay.
Don't remember what else, salsa. And then like after it crisped up, they would like fold it into an envelope.
Oh.
And you would kind of eat it that way.
Oh, this sounds great.
It was real good. Like, you know, you could, there was never a night in college where I could not easily be talked into wandering over to the Coop and getting a cheddar dia.
Even though it doesn't dia mean day?
Yes, it was the dia de los quesos.
Okay. That if somebody hasn't made that a holiday,
that's
yet,
every
it
day.
Be. Yeah, it is. Okay. So hold on. So we should backtrack and say, what is a quesadilla?
Okay. So according to Wikipedia, and like I had to, you know, I felt like we should get our friend slash nemesis Dan Pashman on the phone to weigh in on this. But a quesadilla is a type of taco in the sense that it is a filled tortilla.
I don't like this. Mm-hmm. I don't like this. I don't like this at all. No.
Okay. So a quesadilla is not a type of taco. We're going to edit that part out. and there are many types of quesadillas and quesadilla-like foods in Mexico and the southwestern U.S., but the basic is a corn or flour tortilla with a good melting cheese such as Oaxaca, Jack, or cheddar.
Oh, I love Oaxaca cheese.
Yes. It is traditionally cooked on a comal, which is like the type of griddle on which you would make tortillas. Mm-hmm. And in most of Mexico, corn tortillas are more common than flour, but there is a dish popular nationwide called sincronizadas, and it's basically a ham and cheese quesadilla in a flour tortilla. And there can be other fillings, but like ham is key. It sounds really good. I don't think I've ever had one.
Fantastic.
And there is a similar sandwich called a gringas that is made with al pastor pork, pineapple, and cheese. So it's kind of... It's very closely related to an al pastor taco,
okay,
which usually has pineapple also.
Okay.
But also sounds very good.
So when you make quesadillas at home, what kind of tortilla do you prefer?
I use a flour tortilla.
Okay. And what size do you get?
So I generally get like the medium size, which is usually called like soft taco size, I feel like.
And you cooked it in like a 10-inch skillet. Is that what I saw? So it fit perfectly in the bottom of a 10-inch skillet.
Yeah, and I feel like when, like, if you use a skillet that's much bigger than the tortilla, it increases the risk that cheese is going to run out the side and burn.
Oh, this is smart.
Which is not always a bad thing. If it doesn't burn too much, like cheese that's a little burnt, not bad at all.
What heat do you cook it over?
Medium high.
Okay, medium high.
Because I want the cheese to finish melting around the same time that the tortilla is crispy on both sides.
So will you tell me the order will you tell me the steps and like approximately how much fat and what kind of fat you're using to cook it?
I'm so glad you asked. So depending on like sometimes if I just want like a little like a snack, I will make a folded over half moon quesadilla.
Like a calzone quesadilla.
Like a calzone dia. Mm-hmm. So, but usually I will do like a two tortilla affair.
Wow. Hot.
Yeah.
Filling.
Yes.
A filling affair.
A very filling affair. So I will put some fat in the pan. And
what kind of fat?
Okay. So I prefer either butter or lard. Okay. Lard would be my top choice.
Okay.
It's got a little bit of that lard funk to it, and it browns really nicely. Butter is also really good.
And so you would put, how much do you think you're putting in there before you put in the bottom tortilla?
I think like a little less than a tablespoon.
Okay. And so you let it melt.
Yep. Let it melt. Let it get ripply hot.
Okay.
Put down the first tortilla, sprinkle it with cheese, and put down the other tortilla.
Okay.
And then I kind of, because I want it, my stove doesn't heat very evenly, and I want to make sure my quesadilla is browned all over.
Hold on.
Okay.
Do our listeners know that both of us have like pretty janky electric stoves?
Yeah. I just read an article in the New York Times. Maybe you've heard about it, about how gas stoves are environmentally unfriendly and probably also poisoning you, and everyone should get electric stoves. And I felt so superior.
Wow. I'm so glad to know this. I did not read that, but I feel better about my life already.
I think the headline of the article was, "Molly and Matthew, you're killing it out there. Just keep doing what you're doing." It was weird that headline was in the New York Times, but I clicked it. It worked. Yeah. It's this new custim narrow casting. That was a thing people said in the 2000s that have no one said since.
I'm just going to ignore it because I don't know what you're talking about.
All right,
I have cooked so little on gas stoves that I think I don't even know what I'm missing. I'm just super cool with my 2.5 functional burners.
I'm super cool with my super hot burners. So here's my favorite part of making a quesadilla. Because my janky burner doesn't heat evenly, I want to make sure that my tortilla crisps evenly. So I will reach in with my hand and kind of my fingertips and take the quesadilla that's only been cooking on one side so far and spin it.
And so you're also continually peeking underneath with a spatula to check the color.
It's a really like intense, involved 3-minute process.
This is why I use the toaster oven.
Yeah, it's a good kind. It's like, you know, what do you call it? Like when you're like in the moment.
Oh, it's a like meditative.
It's meditative.
Hold on. So then when it's time to flip it, do you put more butter in? And how do you do that? Because then you've got this delicate operation now.
So here's what I do.
I'm knocking over everything.
I just take a little nub of butter or lard and stick it on the top of the tortilla and then flip it. Yeah.
And okay, great.
I did not realize when we started doing this that I have actual like tricks.
Techniques.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then basically, again, you're looking for color. And so you've just learned that on your stove, medium high gets the job done and melts everything.
Yeah, it's like
at
a number
right
6
time.
on the dial thingy.
Okay. Cool.
It's not going to be the same on your stove.
No, it's not.
Listeners or Molly.
You know what my stove says, right? It's so here's how it goes.
This sounds like a line from a rap song. Like that there's going to be like a call and response.
What my stove say? No, but the stove has the dial says off, warm,
okay,
low,
yeah,
third, second, and high.
Whoa.
It is. It's a real learning curve.
Oh, wow. Like, I feel like your stove was...
It's a hot point.
It's a hot point.
From ancient history.
It goes third, second, high?
Yeah.
Okay.
So second is medium high. Third is medium.
I feel like your stove was designed on 420. I did not remember that, but I love it.
Right? It's so messed up.
Yeah. It's such a grab bag of adjectives.
Yeah.
Intensities.
I don't understand why they were switching from like numerics to...
Yeah, why not like, you know,
medium, high,
because mine goes
high.
Low, and then there's a bunch of numbers, and then high.
Yeah, no.
Okay. No, I like yours. Mine's got no personality.
Warm, low, yeah. Third, second, high.
Okay. This... It would be a real, like, rethinking of the medal ceremony at the Olympics if they did it this way.
Can you imagine? Uh-huh. Okay, wait. So I noticed that when you cut up our quesadilla that we ate today, mm-hmm. which was delicious.
Oh, thank you.
It was so good.
Yeah, and I used Tillamook sharp cheddar, of course.
Okay. Never extra sharp?
No, I don't like how the extra sharp melts in a quesadilla. Like there is a noticeable, like curdliness to it that I... You know, I'm not going to say no to it. It's not bad, but it's not as smooth as the sharp.
This is really good to know.
Yeah.
I tend to buy the extra sharp.
Yeah, for almost all other purposes other than quesadillas and grilled cheese, I think the extra sharp is great.
Okay.
But the sharp is a better melting cheese.
Okay. So I noticed that you cut up our quesadilla with scissors.
I did, and I don't know why I did that exactly, because it's not what I usually do.
Do you usually chuck it onto the cutting board and then
use a knife?
I usually
chuck it onto the cutting board and then use a knife.
That's what I do.
And I usually cut it into six triangles.
Yeah.
I know they're not really triangles. Wedges.
Yeah, wedges.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, actually, I shear off the bottom of each one and throw it away so it's a perfect triangle.
So do you usually do a plain cheddar quesadilla, or do you ever mix up the cheese? Do you ever put other things in there?
So the only other thing I ever really put in there is chicken. Okay. And like a chicken quesadilla is so good.
Is this like a vessel for leftover chicken? Do
it
you sometimes
can be a vessel, such a vessel. I mean, I'm a vessel for leftover chicken.
In the corpus of your mm-hmm. culinary habits, mm-hmm. this is not mm-hmm. working out very well.
No, it's okay. Like, I've been meaning to retake the SAT. I feel like I can really nail it this time.
Do you make chicken especially to then use in quesadillas? That's what I'm trying to say.
When the author used the word corpus, do I make chicken for chicken quesadillas? I will often make chicken for chicken quesadillas. I'll like take a chicken thigh, I'll saute it real quick and cut it into strips and then stick it in a quesadilla.
Okay.
It takes the quesadilla out of the realm of just like, you know, 4-minute convenience food, but some, you know, like that, then it becomes like I could serve this for dinner and that's cool, especially if I have some homemade salsa.
Do you not feel like you could serve it for dinner if you didn't do that?
No, I mean, it depend like along with what, cause like maybe with a nice salad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, would you serve grilled cheese for dinner?
I don't usually.
Okay. Yeah, I don't either. I tend to not do sandwiches
like,
for
like,
dinner.
Feel like lunch things to me.
Yeah.
Not dinner things. But that makes me sound like such an asshole.
Yeah,
like,
it sounds
like,
really dumb.
Like, you know, that a quesadilla is like unworthy of the formal 7-course dinners that I usually serve on Wednesday night.
No, it's interesting. I'm interested that you think this way too, because mm-hmm. like yesterday I was at home writing and I didn't really have any leftovers around to eat for lunch. All I had were like some leftover blanched snow peas from like a rice bowl we'd done the night before. And so I made myself a quesadilla uh-huh. and then I ate these like snow peas uh-huh. on the side. And then for dinner, I can really only get it up to make like a full dinner like 2 to 3 nights a week.
Sure. And I think we talked about this on the dinner, the meal planning episode.
Yeah. Anyway, last night I made these like curried lentils, a Melissa mm-hmm. Clark recipe. I made some coconut rice, like basmati rice cooked in coconut milk, fried eggs. I made a garlicky yogurt. What was great about it is that it left us with a lot of leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
But when Ash was...
Leftovers are one of the best things to have leftover after a meal.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's almost like, nothing I'd rather have leftover.
Yeah, they're way better than like, you know, recrimination.
Anyway, so Ash and I this morning were discussing...
When the author used the word recrimination.
Matthew, I just called you... Oh, it's like when I call Ash.
I want to specify
June or
because
Alice.
We haven't specified this in too long. We're not married.
No,
we're not even engaged.
No. Okay. Anyway, so this morning before Ash left for work, we were discussing what to have for dinner tonight because we've got June back tonight after her being at Brandon's for a few nights. I was like, oh, we've got leftovers, but I really don't think June's going to be into these lentils.
Yeah.
So what I was like, I was like, okay, we'll do leftovers plus like a box of mac and cheese.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't think to do a quesadilla. I never make a quesadilla for dinner. Like, never. I had a quesadilla for lunch yesterday, yet it seems,
it seems
more like natural to make a box of mac and cheese for dinner than a quesadilla.
You know what's weird, though?
What?
Is, like, did we do a torta episode?
I don't think so.
I will totally make tortas for dinner.
Huh.
And I'll totally make tacos for dinner.
But these seem like a torta. You're probably like making a meat just for it,
or making a
sauce just for it, or making some sort of like a vegetable that's going to go in
there. Have you watched that show, Making a Meater?
I feel like it seems to me that the common denominator here is that we expect to work for dinner, whereas we want lunch to magically...
Oh my God, common denominator. I didn't know I was going to have to take the math SAT also. Shit.
Whereas we just want lunch to appear before us.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so...
I think this sounds reasonable. I mean, we both work during the day, so we don't want to, like, cook during the day.
Yeah, I totally work during the day.
Yeah, you've been writing, like, all those pitches and stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've just been sitting around bleeding out my eyeballs staring at my computer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's work.
Reading about selfhood.
Oh, wow.
Things like that.
All right. So, I don't know. Like, when I was doing quesadilla research, like, I started reading about, like, things that appear in quesadillas that I've never had but would like to try, like huitlacoche and squash blossoms.
Oh, that sounds
like,
great.
Squash season is coming up. Like, summer squash season. That's the ones you get squash blossoms from, right?
Correct. Like, yes.
So I am going to try that this summer because I do actually like squash blossoms a lot.
What about huitlacoche?
I have had it here and there and have never cooked with it myself. Have you?
I have not cooked with it myself. I have eaten it before on a couple of occasions. It's delicious.
Yeah.
We're talking about a corn fungus.
It's a corn smut.
Yeah, corn smut. Mm-hmm. That's right. Corn smut. Yeah, I like, Matthew, I feel like I'm going to work on my pan-fried quesadilla technique.
And
now that I've seen
you. And I'm going to work on myself and like why I don't consider a quesadilla a proper dinner and like how I can work that. How I can, like, ease it onto my table.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So you can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com. We want to hear about your quesadilla technique. Oh, also facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. Please tell us either place about what's your quesadilla technique? What quesadilla fillings are we leaving out?
Mm-hmm. Do you serve it for dinner?
Yeah.
Are we dinner snobs?
We didn't really talk at all about corn tortilla quesadillas, which I feel like are probably have like a genetic relationship to pupusas.
You're right.
Like sometimes when I make a corn tortilla quesadilla, which sometimes I will do like as a snack usually, like I do that a little bit differently in the sense that I still do it in a pan, but I want to use a cast iron pan and no fat in the pan.
Does it get a different like charred corn flavor?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And a little bit crispy, but not as crispy.
Interesting.
Really tasty.
Interesting. And it'll cook evenly without help from the fat?
Yes. I mean, it doesn't need to. I mean, the cheese will melt evenly because the cast iron, conducts heat well. You're not trying for the same kind of like even browning on the tortilla. It's supposed to be kind of like spotted with, burnt spots.
Mm-hmm. Which seems more like how it would be on a comal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can also find us on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. Mm-hmm. Please leave us a review, rate and review wherever you get the show. How about that? Instead of us just like throwing out a bunch of names of podcasting platforms like we sometimes do. Our producer is Abby Circatella, and boy, were we making her work for this one. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
Oh, my tea didn't do anything for me.
Oh, hojicha has almost no caffeine.
I want more caffeine.
I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
my quesadilla research is maybe lacking. Like, I kind of went down a rabbit hole and came out with not much.
Well, but I do recall that you texted me, because, you know, most of our texts are about the research we're doing for the show.
Yeah.
Like, whether the research has begun or not begun, uh-huh, or whether it's finished or not finished.
Yep.
Anyway, you texted me and you said that you were researching quesadillas and it made you hungry.
I mean, yes. Yeah, that was kind of the part of the rabbit hole I went down. I kept learning about, maybe we should start a quesadilla episode and then we can talk about this.
Hold on.
Abby's going to cut out that part right before we introduced ourselves, and then people are going to say, why would we have guessed that? I mean, I guess because it says quesadillas on your podcast player.
I don't think she should cut that out. Abby, don't cut that out.
Okay.
Cut it out, Abby. I mean, cut out your cutting out.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.